for God's people to know that our God is good to us. Yeah? All right, well, we're continuing on. It's our look at these Feast of the Lord, and we're actually making our way pretty close to the end. And so we're so thankful for the Spirit of God and His presence and His power that has helped us to make it thus far. So today we're taking a look at a paragraph there that begins with verse 26 in Leviticus 23. So if you could find that, and if you're physically able, if you would stand while we read the Word of God in your presence, and we honor God by hearing Him speak directly to us from His Word, and then see if we together can understand what He might want us to know for today. All right? Leviticus 23, beginning at verse number 26. It reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the 10th day of this 7th month, and is the Day of Atonement, it shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people." Verse 31. "You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves on the ninth, on the ninth day of the month, beginning at the evening, from the evening till evening, you shall keep your Sabbath." Amen. Amen. Father, we are so blessed to be called by your name. We're so blessed to be called children of God. And you so candidly say, and such we are. And we thank you, Lord, that having come to Christ and having experienced your love, having experienced the wonderful miracle of being brought out of darkness into light, having experienced the liberty that we know in Christ, having experienced grace and mercy and kindness and compassion and patience and your faithfulness, your protection, your provision, your deliverance, your healing, and every other good and great and wonderful blessing in our lives. We're just so confident that we will run this race until we have finished, and until you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so here we are, Lord, saying, help us as we meet with you in your scriptures today. Show us, lead the way in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, yes, we've journeyed quite a ways in these feasts, and you will remember again that these were just feasts that were typically held in the spring and the fall, because these were agrarian people, and we always want to remind you that these festivals are always pointing at Christ, yeah? They're always pointing at Christ, and it would be a sad testimony for us to get so bogged down in the Old Testament that we can't see that God was trying to move Israel forward, and here we are in this New Testament period, and we get stuck, you see, back there. We never want to undervalue the New Testament, but we don't want to misappropriate it, yeah? To see it for what it was intended is that keeps pointing toward Christ, keeps pointing toward Him, hallelujah. And so that's what these feasts do for us. We've seen the first three point to His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and then the Feast of Weeks, which is also called the Feast of Pentecost, which is pretty obvious that we studied it, addresses the day of Pentecost that we see there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And then last week, we looked at the Feast of Trumpets. Again, pretty obvious when you come to the New Testament and think about trumpets and what we know about. There's a wonderful, wonderful time that's yet to come when Christ is going to return. And the last trumpet, right? The last trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, hallelujah, will be caught up together to meet Him in the air. Forever, 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 forever to be with Him. And so Paul says, encourage yourself with these words. You see? Encourage yourself in this time when things are crumbling all around you, crumbling in your neighborhood. Things are crumbling on your job, you know. Things are crumbling in your family. We see such devastating things happening. Encourage yourself. I meet on Zoom with this group of men on Thursdays, and we were talking about just the degeneration of things in the workplace, you know, with this big transgender push and then trying to figure out what they're going to do with the restrooms and all of that whole thing. And they asked me, what can I do? And I just told them, I said, well, you just, Romans 12, you just got to renew your mind every day. You know, this onslaught of misinformation, you see, that's coming every day. And so you got to renew your mind. You got to know what's true. Amen. Yeah. Because the world is trying to wear you down. God wants us to work. As a matter of fact, He commands us to work. But you see, that's the reason every day you got to renew your minds, right? So that you can be refreshed. Because you know He's coming again. You see? You be faithful. The Bible says that he's coming back for those who are faithful to the end. And that's the deal. You and I want to be found faithful to the end. And so when we come to this feast today, this is the Feast of Atonement, and follow the same pattern that we follow before as we look at the origin of it and the significance of it, and see if we can make good application in our lives so that we can be helped. And you see, the Old Testament, though it's not, we don't misappropriate it. We do understand the value of it, yeah? It's valuable. For heaven and earth will pass away, but what? God, Jesus said, not one word, not one jot, not one tittle of my word will pass away. So it's all valuable. Well, so we look at the divine origin. You go back to Leviticus 23, and as we've always seen, it's the Lord, it's Yahweh who is speaking here, yes? Yahweh who is speaking, and it's Yahweh who instituted the Day of Atonement. You see that in verse 26? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. You notice that's just over and over. Why would God have to say that? So that His people then and we now would know that this was God's idea. These are God's feasts. These are not man-made. Don't let people bring that into your sphere of influence. I read some commentaries that said that Israel were just patterning themselves after the heathen groups around them. What kind of foolishness is that for you to believe? that God would, that his people would be patterning themselves with these feasts after the heathens around them. Yeah? God said to Moses. That's where it came from. God said it. You got it? So just have that riveted in your own heart and mind when people are trying to bring that to you. This came from God. Yeah? Hallelujah. I know you hear me say that every week, but that's the Bible says it every week. And so what God says, I say. And what God says, you should say. Yeah? Shouldn't be embarrassed to say what God says. And again, as we've seen in all of them, I say that God's message was still to his people who should understand it and obey it. You go back, look at verse 27. It shall be for you. Who is he talking to? For you, the people of God. It shall be for you. You, a time of holy convocation. And you see the next one there? You shall afflict yourself. You see? God's people are the ones who understand when God speaks. God's people are the ones who obey when God speaks. And we just, that's the reason our minds are renewed every day, because when we hear, it's an amazing thing. You're there with the Lord. I don't know when your quiet time is or when you get that time, but you know when you've heard it. It just does something to you when you know you've heard from the Lord. It wasn't from Willie Woodmore. It wasn't from this person or that person on the radio or the TV. You know that God was speaking to you as you were right there. You get it? And so it's God's people who know and who understand when they've heard from him and they obey him. And then we got, he leaves no room for misunderstanding in the rest of this paragraph. This was a one-day feast held on the 10th day of the 7th month. You remember the last feast was on the 7th month, but it is what? The first day. You remember that? This is on the 10th day of the 7th month. You go back, you see verse 27. Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. You get it? The 7th month, which is Tishri. This was a day of fasting, self-denial. He told them that don't go through your normal routines. And again, this is just something so challenging in our day and time, because it seems like the demands on the jobs, they don't just go Monday through Friday anymore. They don't just go Monday through Saturday anymore. They just Monday through Sunday, or Sunday through Sunday, whatever paradigm you want to use. And so the Christian has to work out in your own soul that as I deal with my employer, I need my employer to know, as we negotiate or work through plans, that I need a day of rest. You see? It's just as important to me as the extra money, or more important to me than the extra money that I would make. You heard Brother Lay talk about that Proverbs 11, where it seems like the stingy think that by holding money, they're going to keep more money, but the more they hold, the more it flees from them. And so the Bible would say the same thing about those who try to heap up money when it's not God's way. What does he do? He says, puts a hole in the bottom of your bag or the bottom of your purse. You pour more money in, and what does he do? He just lets it drain right out. And you've seen it over and over again. So the more overtime you work, the more things come up that just keeps draining it out. Yeah? So, again, it's just important to recognize how much we need rest. Even the physicians are seeing it now, as people's bodies are beginning to deteriorate because they are not taking, you know, proper rest. You get it? No routine labors, and there were many animal and sacrifices for sin. And so we get, you see that, go back to verse 27. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord, and you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord God. That's the reason it was so important. And then get so many details, so many more details in Leviticus 16. And so you should go there and read that and see how it's detailed. On this very day, the high priest went in there, what's called the holy, the Bible now refers to it as the most holy place. Sometimes you'll read it as the what? Holy of Holies. But once a year, you see, the high priest would enter into this sacred place to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Now hold your place there and just flip back to Leviticus 16. And we'll just give you a whet your appetite just a little bit, all right? Leviticus 16, and let's read verse 15. Got it? You there? Leviticus 16, verse 15. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood inside the veil, and do with this blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Go down to verse 33. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. You get it? Yeah, it's important. It's important to do as the Lord says. And so this is a wonderful thing. And then we find out here that no one was exempt. Go back to 23, Leviticus 23. Start at verse 29. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from the people. And whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the ninth day of the month, beginning the evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep the Sabbath. Now, this is the point here is that, again, no one was exempt. You see? And so in our day, I realize that there are some occasions where our employers require, you see, that we work on Sunday. We're not legalist. That's not the issue. It's not being a legalist, but it is understanding that you cannot be motivated by greed and just more and more. You must see that the day that God calls for rest is much more important than what the employer calls for. That's the point. Okay, and so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. There are some times, yes, that exceptions are made, you know. It's like Jesus had to interact with the people who were so infuriated that he would heal somebody on the Sabbath. And he said, what are you talking about? You'll take care of a donkey or animal or whatever on the Sabbath, but you get infuriated that I heal a person. You see, that's that legalism. That's perverted legalism. And so we don't want to drift into legalism. We just want to understand that this is not to be a pattern of our lives. That I always work and don't give God his time, nor give the rest that I need. Everybody got it? So those are the instructions. Those are the instructions. So then let's look at the significance. To the Old Testament saints, atonement. Let's think about that for a minute. Not just for the Old Testament saint, but for all of us. Atonement means to cover. Okay? And in this particular case, to cover sins. Knowing that your sins are covered. And so Tishrei 10 was the day each year when all the sins of believing Israel were covered and forgiven. Think of that. All sins, all your sins were covered. Intentional sins, unintentional sins, sins of commission, sins of omission. You know what I mean by that. Sins that, things that you committed that were wrong. Sins of omission, things that you should have done that you didn't do, you know. So commission and sins of omission, and blatant sins and subtle sins and all, you see, all of their sins were forgiven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know all your sins. All of your sins are forgiven. But here's the thing. The high priest, the high priest was the only mediator between God and the people of Israel. And he was the only one that could go behind that curtain. No one dared go behind that curtain because they'd seen it happen. They'd be struck dead. And so y'all know, y'all have heard, we've talked about this before. And so they tie these bells, you know, on their tassels so they could hear them and know that they're alive. Because if they died in there, nobody was going in. And they tie a rope around their leg. Why? Because if you weren't clean, if you weren't right, and you tried to go before the Lord and you die there, what are we going to do? We're not going in there. We're going to drag you out. See, this is no... And if they were that serious in the Old Testament, why can't we be that serious in the new when we know more? When we've seen God reveal himself in such greater ways. You see? We shouldn't be playing games with God just because he's not killing somebody on the spot today. That's mercy is what it is. Paul says, shall we sin that what grace might increase? How does he respond? That's a rhetorical question, right? What did he say? God forbid that we would do that. And yet, people seem to just treat gathering in God's presence so trivial now. Just anything goes. But you get it. You understand. You understand. Got to be more reverence. Got to be. Got to be. And when it comes to this issue, confession and self-denial were essential for the forgiveness of sin. That priest, we're not going to take time to go through all that, but that priest had all this preparation, right? That priest had to go through. Because that priest know that if I'm not ready, I'm going to die in there. So he wanted to make sure that he was cleansed, that his conscience was cleansed, that his, go through all the prayer. They had all these things that they had to do with their clothing, had baptism and, you know, all of these things. It says something to us about what we ought to do when we prepare to come to church, you see. When we prepare together and meet in God's presence, are you coming right? You see? Now, they did this once a year. You know, God gives us an opportunity, once a month, to to gather. You remember what that says? Is that some were weak, some were sick, and some were what? Even asleep or dead, because they what? They wouldn't examine themselves. They wouldn't examine themselves coming to the Lord's table. And so, you see, if you get accustomed to coming to church and faking it on other times, you'll just do it the same thing. You see, when you come to the Lord's table, that's the point. You should do it every week so that it's not something unique. You don't just do it just so you can take the Lord's Supper. It's something that you do because you're going to be in what? In the presence of the Lord. So there is nothing more important than being at peace with God. Nothing more important than having your sins forgiven. Yes? It's more important than pleasure. More important than money. More important than education. More important than career. More important than success or fame or popularity. You see, more important than ministry. More important than family or anything else you want to plug in that statement. You got to be at peace with God first before you're effective at anything else. Right? And once you've been at peace with God, then you value it. Yeah? You value it once you've been at peace with God. Amen. So, when we come to the New Testament then, in the New Testament, we see that Christ fulfilled the truths of the Day of Atonement. And we're not surprised by that, right? Listen to 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and look at this, the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all what? Sin. Yeah, because he fulfills this very feast right here. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You got it? Yeah. All because of Christ. All because of Christ. And we won't go through all of these verses in Hebrews, but that's it's an amazing thing. Hebrews 9 and 10 lays out this whole analogy, what we just covered now, to talk about how the priest, you know, would go inside the curtain and would take the blood of the animals and all of this kind of thing. But that's no longer necessary. Thank God. Thank God, that's no longer necessary. But the point is, it's all of our sins. All of our sins are forgiven. Past sins, present sins, future sins, all of them. All of the ones that we talked about before. The sins of commission, the sins of omission. The sins that you thought were subtle. I hear people say, I just told a little lie. Well, what is a little lie versus a big lie? It's like somebody says, I'm a little pregnant. Well, what is that? What exactly is that? You know? Right? But see, all of them required the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. That's what we need to rejoice in. Or there's no remnant left. There's nothing left for you to have to do to clean up, you see? God didn't take care of most of your sins, and now you gotta do something else. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was done. It's over. Thank God there was nothing else for us to do. And I'm really, 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 really thankful that we didn't come along in this generation with aren't you thankful that we didn't have this? You didn't have to bring a trailer
with you to church today with some sheep or goats or some kind of bulls or, I mean, aren't you? Just to come to worship. It's done. It's been done. It's been finished for 2,000 years. And look at us. We sit here today enjoying the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah! It's done. It's finished. And we get the benefit of having all of our sins forgiven. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. And then, you see, Christ has torn. Y'all remember when you read the Gospels? And you remember when Jesus died? One of the most phenomenal things happened. There were a lot of miracles that happened when he died. But one of the miracles was this this really thick veil. I don't know. I don't forget now. It's several inches thick. Several inches thick just extensive in its height. And so that my point is that it's impossible for any people to do it. But when Jesus died, it said that what? The veil to the temple was ripped open. What? Not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Yeah? Who did it? God did it. The way to God is open now. Hallelujah. The way to God is open now. Isn't this wonderful? I'm telling you all. Go right into the Holy of Holies. Who can go? This old lump of clay. Who can go? You can go. You don't need to be in a special category of priest, you see. The Bible says that all of us are priests. All of us, every one of us, is a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah! And now, all you got to do is to step inside the veil and you're in his presence right now. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
In his presence. In his presence. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh man, this stuff is so good. Therefore, let us with confidence come before what? The throne of grace. Come with confidence now. How? Because Jesus has died for us. You can come with confidence before the throne of grace where you can receive mercy and find grace enough to help you what? In your time of need. And Paul says, now having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says, through him we have access.
Yes.
Through him we have what? Access. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Access. Christ has opened the way, not for any special people. I mean, you know what I mean. We're all special to God. But you know, there's no special category. Every one of us has access to God. And oh my, every believer should graciously and faithfully and confidently benefit from access to God. Why won't you benefit from it? Why don't you take time to benefit from getting in God's presence? Jesus died so that you could have that privilege. Amen. And yet you're too busy. Yes. You see? I want to put it on the other end of the spectrum. You're too worried.
You'd rather worry than get in the presence of God. You'd rather call somebody else than get in the presence of God. You see? You'd rather watch a movie than get in the presence of God. You see what I'm saying? When it's wide open, you don't need an appointment. Isn't that good? You don't need an appointment. The master of the universe says, you don't have to make an appointment with me. You can't do that with your doctor. Think of it. Or, so many other people in life. You can't meet them without an appointment. But the master of the universe says, just come. I'm telling y'all, this is the best life. This is the best life. And we sometimes act like it's the worst life. Because we're not benefiting from it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Benefit. Benefit from it. You see, the guilt and the shame and the blame of sin has all been taken away by the death of Christ. All of it is gone. He made atonement once, the Bible says, for all when he offered up himself, Hebrews 7:27. Made it once for all. It doesn't have to be done again. It's already finished. He made atonement. Hebrews 7:27. And you remember I told you that that priest was the only mediator for Israel? The Bible tells us that Christ is the only mediator for us, right? So Christ is the only mediator for us. 1 Timothy, 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the manhood, Christ Jesus. It's him. It's him. He's the only one. And he really does want us to just benefit from him. He ever lives. He ever lives to what? To make intercession for us. Hallelujah. I don't know. I think I told you all this story before. Several years ago, was traveling back to Missouri, and now I've been driving 50 years. I don't know, some of y'all probably been driving about that long too, but I've been driving 50 years, and it's still kind of it's unsettling when you see those flashing lights in your rearview mirror, isn't it? Because you just don't know. Particularly nowadays, you just don't know what it means, and so. I was coming back from Arkansas several years ago, and a trooper had someone pulled over on the side. You know how they do, and the car was, they had it angled the way they do, and so we were scooting along down there. And it wasn't speeding, but I don't know what the speed limit was there, 65, 70, whatever it is on the interstate. But as I was approaching, a car was right beside me, And so I was hemmed in. And when I passed him the regular speed because I couldn't get over. And lo and behold, after a mile or so, you know what I saw. There are these lights, in the rearview mirror. And so, obviously it's the big issue of, what did I do? And so he pulled us, Alma and I were traveling, and he pulled us over, and he told me. He said that, checking a driver's test, what you're supposed to get over, when you see it. And I would have. Had I not been hemmed in. I was gracious to him. He was gracious to me. But you know, before that, all that you can think about is, you know, the pressure. It comes. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how this is going to go down. You know, I'm out here on the highway. I don't even know what county I'm in. I don't know what they're going to do to me. You know, the whole thing. And then plus you got the guilt and the shame of if I was doing something wrong. We had this good conversation, and he forgave me and said, go on your way and be more careful. And I tell you, it's wonderful. It was wonderful to have that offense forgiven, because I was guilty. I was guilty. And he had the authority. It had been in his right to execute, you know, the consequences of me having broken the law. I thought about that today. I don't know if I've told you all this before or not, but I've got two nephews. I believe both of them are state troopers. I know at least one is state troopers. And so it's always nice to have, you know, somebody in your family that you can call on when you need a little help. I'm grateful for that. But, you know, at that particular moment, I couldn't call for any help. And it was just so good to know that that particular offense was forgiven. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. That was just one offense. I'm telling you that Christ died so that what? All of our sins would be forgiven. You know what I mean? I was there sweating and concerned about what? One. Think about what it would be if you had to stand before God and give an account for what? All of your sin. You can't settle it. The only option there is hell. You understand what I'm saying? You see how blessed we are? To be at peace with God now and be at peace with God throughout eternity, what? Because my debts have been what? Settled. Not trying to say I was innocent. Not a one of us was innocent. But I've been for what? I've been forgiven. So, y'all get the picture. You get the picture. My brothers, my sisters, we can see that the Day of Atonement was an occasion to thank God for his faithfulness in covering our sins. Yeah? To thank God for forgiving our sins. It is a reminder for us to thank God through Jesus Christ for his great plan of redemption. Thank him that Jesus paid the price. He paid the debt. He paid the ransom for every sin of every believer. No exception. No believer is excluded. No, regardless of your age, your education, you see. And not only that, no sin is too great. No sin is too awful. No sin is too miserable. Yeah. No sin is too shameful. No sin is too painful. No sin is too damaging. No sin is too low. No sin is too high. No sin is too recent. No sin is too far in the past. No sin is too personal. No sin is too ignorant. No sin is too crude or cold or messy. For the price, because he paid it. He paid the price for all of them. All of them. All of them. There is therefore now, what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore now,
no condemnation. We are blessed. Now, right now, no condemnation. Everything you've ever done in the past, in Christ, you are what? A new creation. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, the new has come. You've been born again. You've been washed in the old song. I've been washed in the blood. Oh, my. I remember hearing that old song. And people were talking about how wonderful it is to be washed in the blood and be white and come out. The saints talked about the same as how a cow can eat green grass and produce what? White milk. So the blood of Jesus can wash us clean and we can come forth pure as white, as pure as white snow. This is a wonderful thing. We're blessed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Always remember, as we wrap up, the blessing of forgiveness. Always remember being at peace with God. Always remember living in fellowship with Christ. Always remember having access to God for prayer and praise, because Jesus paid it all. It's all to Him that we owe. Yeah? Listen to, as I close, Revelation 5 and a few verses there, and we'll be done. Revelation 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and your blood, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Yeah? Oh, I'm telling you all, it's going to be a good day when we finally see that. And then look at the next one. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and what? Worshiped. Fell down and worshiped. Jesus paid it all. And so just remember that when the devil tries to bring accusations to you and bring up your past, you know, bring up those ugly things from the past, Jesus paid it all. And for those who are on Zoom or any here present that don't know this peace with God, there's only one way to secure it. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to believe in Him. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, right? But through Him. Father, we thank you for these few minutes that we had together, and